Hey guys, Will here. Just wanting to throw a quick little tidbit out for the listeners. It looks like we are up for a possible podcast award this year. You can find that over at www.podcastawards.com. We're up in the, I believe it's gaming and hobbies category, as well as potentially the people's favorite. So please, please, please head over and vote. It would mean a huge, huge amount to me if we were actually able to win something. So please head over before the end of July. You'll have to set up an account. You'll hit this blue nomination button. It asks you to set up an account as a listener before you can nominate stuff. And then you can get in and do it. So please and thank you. He did, sir, but I've seen 100 tournaments and more wars than I could wish. And however strong or fast or skilled a knight may be, there are others who can match him. A man will win one tourney and fall quickly in the next. A slick spot in the grass may mean defeat, or what you ate for supper the night before. A change in the wind may bring the gift of victory. He glanced at Ser Jorah, or a lady's favor knotted round an arm. Welcome to the White Wolf Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to keep the same in second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to GRRM for his amazing novels, FFG for this fantastic game, Card Game DB for getting us a start, and you, our loyal listeners, for sticking through thick and thin. Check us out on our website, Facebook, or Twitter, or email us at contact@whitewolfpodcast.com and rate us on iTunes. This CC licensed music is Town Function by Spinners. Episode 299.
Dude, the more Martin quotes you do, the more I'm just like convinced that it's just like almost not worth doing quotes anymore.
Because I'm stretching out into the not great stuff.
Yeah, which it didn't really take that long, to be completely honest.
Yeah. There's like 100 or so like really memorable quotes, and we're on episode 299. So
I was actually thinking that you need to be the one that actually goes back and re-narrates the audiobooks. Because I don't know if you've ever listened to those, but oh my god.
I like Rota Trees, actually. But
I can't do it.
I know it's a really divisive issue, but...
It's totally personal preference, but wow. Like, I listened to about an hour of Storm of Swords and I couldn't do it. I'm like, I'll just go read the 900 and something pages.
I mean,
and then you realized, oh, like, out of the 1,100 pages of this book, only about like 50 were good.
I liked Storm of Swords.
I'm talking about like technical sentence level writing stuff, but we can get into that later.
Sure.
Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's accurate.
That's Luke's favorite hobby horse.
the plot's great. The characters are fine for the most part, but the sentences are just bad, man.
That's fair.
Before I let Luke get too far down that route,
down that rabbit hole,
while I keep mentioning one host,
we have like
name,
new people.
We've got new voices. How about we introduce everybody? Of course, I'm Will, and longtime listeners have already heard Luke. But we heard a new voice pop up, one of my local metamates, Caleb, and there's another one who appears to be lurking or having technical difficulties again. Arjun?
I am alive. I'm just lurking.
Okay. Just making sure. Well, we brought a couple new voices on the show. We're getting here right toward the tail end of regional season. and a bunch of these folks have hit up tournaments and things over the past little bit. So we want to talk about that, of course, and some of the Thrones news we've had lately. But first, I thought maybe we would let the new guys introduce themselves, tell us a little bit about maybe how they got into Game of Thrones, both the series or show or game. Both. Man, Luke's really going to ream me for that particular in accuracy, I suppose.
You just did it to yourself. It's fine.
Okay, that's good. Well, Martin just did his sentences to himself, so to speak.
That's fair.
So, how about...
But you're not selling 1,100 pages of that.
What I will say, though...
Well, I don't know. I bet if you had a transcript of all the episodes of The White Book, we would have 1,100 pages.
That's fair. That's
very
fair.
Very nice.
That literally nobody would ever read, ever.
No, never. Never. So speaking of transcripts, I'm working on something special for episode 300 that I think could be pretty entertaining. I don't want to spoil it if it doesn't work out, but I think it could be pretty entertaining. So,
well, shit, now that you've said, like, speaking of transcripts, I'm like, what?
I know. I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later. All okay. Right. So tell you what, I'm just going to go in alphabetical order here with the new guys. Caleb, why don't you lay... a few paragraphs worth of intro on us on who
Will,
you are,
I,
what you like.
Can I ask them? Can I ask them a follow up interview question after they're done?
Yes. Yes, you may.
Okay.
Well, my name's Caleb. I've been playing Thrones for about 6 years now. I played in first edition for a good long while, and then got a nice big surprise of 2.0 coming out. And my collection going straight to nothing. But I've been a huge fan. Actually, a mutual friend of ours, me and Will, Eric, was the one who got me into this. And I actually got into the card game first, and then got into the show, and then went back and reread all the books.
That is so bass ackwards.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Welcome to my life.
So my follow up question is, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much do you despise Night's Watch defense as an archetype for the game?
In our meta, there's like one dude who plays it, so not that much.
Wrong answer.
Like,
that was a deep and probing question, Luke. That's good. I'm excited. You know what? I'm even willing to let you ask a second follow-up question.
Oh, okay. All right. So my second follow-up question is, what is your favorite companion traded card in second edition?
Ooh, that's actually fairly easy. Brothel Madam?
That's acceptable. I think the right answer probably was Grey Worm, but, you know, Brothel Madam's okay.
I actually haven't had a chance to use him, but I've seen him in action, and he is definitely solid. But
yep. Ooh, yeah.
Brothel Madam has won me far too many games to not get an honorable mention, at least.
Fair enough. Are you playing the Night's Watch Lion choke deck? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm actually playing a Martell Lion choke deck, was what I had at Regionals.
Ooh.
It's pretty spicy.
Yeah.
That sounds
yeah.
really
we can
spicy.
Talk more
I like
about
it.
That. As we
spoilers
at regionals, I don't want to get too far into that. Yeah, we're not spoiling our own episode, guys. Okay, so RJ, why don't you lay it on us?
Well, I started actually playing Game of Thrones once I kind of fell off a little bit of the Android Netrunner LCG, and I had a friend who was also playing that got me into the game, and I fell in love with the mechanics, the design. I was watching the shows at the time and just really loved the universe. And once I started, I was doing an activity when I was living back on the East Coast, and that really got me into the shows. And then I started playing the game a little bit before the regionals last year, and that was at the Springfield Regional in Missouri, and kind of been playing it ever since. And then just... working my way up the chain, and have had pretty good success. So, yep, that's about it.
Okay, so RJ, my follow-up question is, what is the best kill spell in the game?
The best kill spell? I mean...
It's a trick question.
My favorite house... Yeah, my favorite house is Targaryen, so Dracarys.
Well, I mean, there are no spells in Game of Thrones, so...
Exactly.
trick question. Well played.
But I'm willing to accept Dracarys.
And then can I ask another follow-up question?
Yes, you may ask two follow-up questions of RJ as well.
Okay, all right. So this one's going to be really personal, and I'm just warning all the listeners right now.
Oh, no. I am intrigued.
I'm kidding. Which community makes the best alternate art cards in the game?
Well, no pressure. I'm going to have to also give that one... hands down to Batalha Puramuro.
Batalha is a totally acceptable answer. I was going to say Indie Thrones, but Batalha is pretty acceptable because they have a long and illustrious history of doing so.
Indeed.
What, half a dozen years? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, time flies. Speaking of time flying... How's that for a segue?
It's the worst segue ever.
Into?
Hey, no, I think that was a good segue because I bet a lot of our listeners listened to the final episode of Beyond the Wall, Long May It Rest in Peace, and had the time travel segment. We are now at that point in the future. Now is the future. We have gone back to the future.
I'll pour one out for Beyond the Wall.
There you go. I would, but I like this beer too much, so sorry, guys.
I'll just get some shitty bourbon and do it. It's fine.
There you go. There you go.
Just pour it into another cup and then drink it. Like, you don't want to waste it.
Set one cup on the ground. You can still pour it out.
But it has to be a dirty glass.
It does. Yeah. Like, don't have clean glasses on the wall.
Well, they're beyond the wall.
They are.
They definitely have clean glasses.
They may actually not have glasses.
That's fair. More like wooden cups, but they're all frozen.
Yeah. Well, now that we are in the future, we've got two bits of news this week about the game that I wanted to hit. And I'm going to hit the, let's say, less tasty, less time-travel-y one first. Now, I've kept at least two of my co-hosts in the dark about this one because... frankly, I find it kind of astounding. So today on Wednesday, what is today? The 19th, as of the recording, we had an update to the Game of Thrones, the card game tournament regulations, version 2.2, effective 7/26 of 2017. Now, this is a fairly long document, 17 pages, as I'm sure all of our listeners know by heart. But thankfully, that is, FFG is kind enough to highlight changes in red so that we can quickly and easily locate what in this 17-page document has changed. So let me scroll down here. Oh, okay, there we go. First change appears to be on page 4. This is the second sentence of the judge paragraph where they have added the word well-versed.
Okay.
To give the context, the sentence now reads, a judge is well-versed in the game's rules and regulations.
I mean,
that's extremely vague. I'm just going to be extremely blunt.
Yeah, and also,
it's also like mad shade.
Yeah,
it's like mad shade, right?
Yeah. Oh, shade act that maybe RJ and Caleb could talk about. They had some rules issues.
An experience.
But... Yes. Yeah.
We did. Honestly, though,
about nationals, but
yeah,
nationals as well.
I mean, I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole of what happened in that regard, just because it was rectified, and I don't really want to throw too much shade on the judge, but...
It could have potentially been it could potentially have been worse than what the outcome was. So
yes.
Wait,
yes.
So y'all had experience at your tournament?
Actually, yes.
Yes.
Oh.
So I will go ahead and let you know what happened. Round one, there was an instance of Varus's Riddle versus Summer Harvest. And the judge did not know of this interaction that has actually been around for, well, since Varus's Riddle came out. And so RJ got called over because one of the people in that match is one of our group. And we all know that RJ is quite versed in the game and very eloquent in his speaking. So he went over to try and explain it. The judge kind of put his foot down and was like, nope, this is how I'm ruling it. It doesn't do that interaction. So
once this happens, I come back and kind of discuss, well, I'm of the opinion, well, the judge put his foot down, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I also don't argue with the judge too often. But then Caleb brought it to my attention that that was, in fact, in the FAQ. So I went up and I brought it to his attention, and then it was resolved between the next round, because by this point, a couple turns had already passed. So it was like, well, I can't really do anything with it for now. So, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be fair, that interaction is so stupid, but like, mm-hmm. yeah. but the them's the rules, like.
Yeah. So it's awkward, of course, but it was resolved properly thanks to the FAQ. So that's good. That's good.
Yes. No, and in the end, it worked out. In the end, it worked out because one of our meta mates who came up with it that had the interaction ruled against him in that case, he ended up winning his match. So it worked out.
The issue that I had had was the same. That, exactly.
Yeah.
That was my problem. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Was it would have actually set the entire tone of the tournament for all of us, but especially our metamate, who his first game would have been a loss because of a bad ruling.
Well, and this is what just blows my mind, is that there are, I don't know if this is ego or if this is pressure of the moment or whatever, but like, I mean, judges or TOs or whatever, like whoever's making rulings or marshals, you're not beholden to your own knowledge of the game, right? Like you can look up stuff in the RRG or in the FAQ. Just saying, like, you can pause the game to make sure that there's something else that can support the ruling. That's all I'm saying.
And yeah, that was actually my takeaway, was that if there's ever a time where you can't make the call because you don't know the rules, pause the game, go check the FAQ. But moving on from all that.
Yeah, moving on, we've got the... this has to do with checking documents, sort of. The next update in the tournament document is on page 5. This is in the second paragraph of organizer materials, where they've added, and any event outline or other document relevant to... So that, for context, this sentence is now referring to all required rules documents to have on hand for the event. So the sentence is, this includes the A Game of Thrones, the Card Game Rules Reference, A Game of Thrones, the Card Game FAQ, A Game of Thrones, the Card Game Tournament Regulations, parenthetical, this document, and any event outline or other document relevant to the event. So it's another one of those, okay, duh, mm-hmm. sort of additions. And
I feel like this is not a shot at FFG, of course, but I feel like FFG definitely does a lot of commonsensical type things like this.
Oh, no, it should be a shot at FFG.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair, but...
I would have rather seen an updated FAQ than this, because here's the spoiler alert.
Agreed.
Those are the only two things that were added.
Let me guess, they had a big-ass banner, like, on their front page, didn't they? Like, check out the updated tournament document!
Not that bad, thankfully.
Okay.
But still, good.
That sounds like something FFG would do, though.
Efforts could have maybe been better spent elsewhere, but I don't know.
Yes.
Sigh.
So let's move on to the fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, tournament document means nothing moving on.
Yeah. Yeah, we spent about 20 times longer than I expected on that particular thing because there was so little to it. So let's get to the fun one. This is where we have returned back to the future to the announcement of the new cycle, the fourth cycle, Flight of Crows, and the first pack, the Archmaester's Key. And we got several pretty sweet cards spoiled for us here, but I think there's probably two main ones, one in particular that I know somebody, Luke, is super pumped about. So, Luke,
oh, I am too. This card is awesome.
Like, what's I was gonna say, there's another card to talk about. Like, what?
I think there's another one worth talking about in this article, but lay the main one on us.
I guess we'll go with Valor Dohaeris, right?
Good old VD itself.
The VD, man. I mean, everybody's going to be running into that VD here soon.
Right.
Will, do you remember what Valor Dohaeris did in First Ed?
Yeah, it was a 301 that discarded all standing characters at the end of Dominance, I think, maybe? Started standing phase?
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
It was at the end of Dominance. Yeah. It was at the end of Dominance, and yeah. This is way better. I don't have the article up in front of me at the moment because I'm a bad podcast host, but what is it? Is it 451?
451, 6 reserve.
Yeah. 451, 6. Yeah. And then you can, and then like when it's revealed, each player chooses up to 10 gold worth of characters he or she controls. And then the rest are put under the deck, cannot be saved, right?
Maybe it's best to have someone who has it open read it just in case.
I mean, so, I don't take this that seriously.
Just in case it matters, it's an omen, and it says when revealed, each player chooses any number of characters he or she controls with total printed cost 10 or lower. Place each character not chosen on the bottom of its owner's deck, cannot be saved, and this is plot deck limit 1.
I mean, thankfully it's plot deck limit 1, but
oh yeah,
still okay. I love this card. This card makes the game so much more consistent, right? Like this, it's one of those other cards that I will agree, like given the recent second edition posting on the Facebook group, that like can be kind of a barrier to entry to new players if they're not ready for something like this. Like this is a card effect that just makes you go, whoa, I cannot marshal the same way that I used to, even if I have duplicates. But I think that that's good for the game on a competitive level. Like, I think that this card is just really, really good. I cannot see a deck that doesn't want to at least consider this just to bring the board back to parity, because the obvious comparison is going to be like Wildfire, because it's not a board wipe like Valor Morghulis or Varus. And like Wildfire can put you in a really bad spot if you have to flip it as your seventh plot, because you either lose a big guy or they have three big guys already and don't care about everything else. I just think that this card is so good for control, whether it's soft control or hard control. I think that this card is great for pretty much every deck archetype I can think of at the moment. I'm so excited, and the stats are just unbelievable. Like those stats are so far above curve for a reset. Yeah,
That's what I was thinking. Like to me, this plot just feels right. I mean, the gold initiative claim numbers are just solid, and pretty much been said. It just feels right.
Well, something that I really noticed about this, even just at first glance, was this is kind of the reset that I think we needed in core. We have something that actually pulls the snowball effect away from the game.
Yep.
Of got Mountain, Tywin, and Queen Cersei, and I've got Chuds, I'm screwed. So you flip that, and it's like, now you get to keep one of them.
Well, and I think like one of the things that people are going to be pissed about is that like big dumb idiot decks aren't going to be the same, right?
No, mm-hmm. definitely not.
And yep. I think that I would say to those players who are like for lack of a better term complaining about this card's existence is that, you know, it just changes the way you construct your deck, right? Like you can still run all of the big characters, but you may start dropping them to 1x for redundancy purposes, right? Like you might say, oh, this guy does what I want to do for this deck strategy, but I don't necessarily want to get caught with my pants down if I dupe up waiting for a Valor and no Valor comes and then I get Dohairis, right? Like, so I think that, and then I also think it changes the way you marshal because you're not going to just keep dropping huge dude after huge dude, bomb after bomb, and I like that. I think that there's a good, like, natural pace that this card brings to the game. I think Valor Morgolis does that to a certain extent, but it also, like, is really beholden to the just sheer prevalence of saves, and this card yeah. doesn't care about that.
And I actually completely agree that it really does change. It will change how you build decks, definitely, but I feel like the biggest impact it's going to have is how people marshal their characters. Instead of going, you know, I'm going to marshal out all these dudes, dupe them all up so I can survive a Valor, it's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to keep, you know, Balin and a couple of other guys. And it's going to be mm-hmm. more of a holding game of either waiting to flip it or flipping it yourself to reset their big guys and then remarshal. And with those stats, it's an easy rebuild.
Well, if I could play devil's advocate here for a moment, though, I think there's also an argument to be said, though, that this maybe pushes against the game in ways that are, let's say, kind of antithetical to some of the design philosophies that Second Edition debuted with and were presented to us.
Like, you know, the next Watch House card?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, I'm not a big enough devil's advocate to advocate for the next Watch House card. But, you know, the big named characters, your Tywins, your Jamies, your Roberts, heck, now you've got a 7-cost Cersei, your Red Vipers, stuff like that. You know, and when you're talking about this forcing deck building to abandon consistency and seeing and playing those, you are hampering the ability for players to get in and identify during the course of gameplay with those characters that they love from the books or the show or whatever. When you've got something coming into the game at a time period where I think there's probably going to be a good bit of interest still picking, have picked back up from the tail end of the penultimate season of the TV show, I think it has a potential to cause some ill will for folks to discover that there's a very good chance the environment will not allow them to play both Tywin and Jamie very consistently, or at least to have them in play, or the Queen of Thorns and Randall Tarly, or, you know, whatever your personal combination may be. And I worry that pushes the game toward a state that a lot of people, even huge fans of the way First Edition played, really hated that all the emphasis was on these 2-3 cost chud, non-unique sort of non-important characters. I'm worried it either pushes too hard that way, or maybe both, forces FFG to pull the gold curve down and start printing, you know, more 4 and 5 gold big unique characters, and, you know, then we lose one of the other stated design goals about spreading that curve out.
I can definitely see that. I can definitely see that could be a problem, but I don't think that it's going to be as big of a problem as people may think, just in the sense of that you know, if I've got the new Red Viper out and a Myrcella, I can keep them. Or Queen of Thorns and Core Marge. Obviously, nobody's running Core Marge in a Tyrell main deck, but I can definitely
people
see
people are
that.
Running Core Marge all the time in Rush decks.
Really?
Yeah.
I see Tinder Marge all day long.
It depends on the deck. But
I was
going to
say, in Lotsy, I've seen it everywhere.
I gotcha. But I don't feel like it's going to ruin the game. I don't think it's going to cause as much of a detriment as I personally think Valor Morgolis has done a really bad deal with that. But yeah.
Okay, so I think that Will brings up a good point that cards like this are kind of like new player killers. But there's so much design space left, right? Like, there are so many more opportunities to diversify the cost curves at, like, every single cost point, to put unique big-name characters on different cost slots, whether they're, like, 1 through 7. I think that this card really just makes board parity and, like, transient board superiority like a intrinsic part of the game, which I think is like actually super thematic. Like, I think that your advantage in this game should be fleeting, and you should like be planning multiple plots in advance. And if you're not, because you're just playing down big dudes and turning them sideways, then this card punishes that. And that's again me speaking from a purely competitive standpoint, but like, to be fair, like, if you're a casual player and all of your friends are casual players and like you only care about just like cramming your deck full of as many big name characters as you can and doing what you want with them, like, you're not going to play this card anyway, so why does it matter?
I actually agree with that. I think that it's less of a new player killer than Valor Morgolis was, though. Because,
yeah, complete board wipe on demand.
Yeah. Yeah, you're sitting there and you're like, oh, well, you know, I only have one core set, for instance. Or, you know, oh, I didn't get my dupes out, but I've got all my big name guys out. And they go, cool, Valor, you now have nothing and no cards in hand. Now it just snowballs and you don't have any fun. Whereas at least they get to keep a certain amount of characters with this card. And I feel like it has a easier rebuild, specifically the fact that you still get to keep characters, kind of like Wildfire. Mm-hmm.
And you can always shuffle your deck.
Exactly.
Like,
it also doesn't kill them, which is also the nice thing, because this could also open up the opportunity to maybe not play out as many dupes on your big guys, because you know that, well, if they Valadoharis, they go to the bomb, you can just replay it again next turn.
Yep. I hope that that's the case, but I also hope that this just, like, forces the power level of dupes downward. Because dupes are just so above the curve in terms of power level in second edition than they were in first edition. And so I hope that this deck...
they were unplayable almost in first edition, which was not a good place to be in either.
Right, you could cancel them and they couldn't be set up. So I hope that this plot, like, kind of forces unique deck building decisions. And then, like, by the time this thing comes out, you know, at the end of that cycle, you're going to have to be thinking about rotation, right? So, I think that this card is only good for the game. Good initiative for control decks to determine turn order, like, good initiative for aggro decks to determine turn order if they're running a bunch of, like, efficient mid-range stuff. I think that this card is great.
I agree. I'm amped. I'm ready for this card.
Yep. I also really like how this plot pairs well with a follow-up first Snow of Winter turn if you're really going down a dark rabbit hole there.
Okay, so I think you bring up a good point. Like, that's the other fear, right? Is that there's a, like, ridiculously oppressive ultra reset deck.
Oppressive. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know that Valadoharis necessarily slots into the traditional kind of like Varus board clear builds, because I don't think that you get very much leverage out of a big flashy effect like Varus when you're gonna have to pare the board down again immediately after you've already cleared it. Or if you play this before you Varus, then you've cleared it just enough to where Varus isn't going to be that big of an impact again. So I don't see that necessarily happening. Now, if somebody like breaks that and figures out a way to run First Snow, Valor, Morgulis, Valor Dahyris, and Wildfire Assault, plus like, say, double Unexpected Delay or double March, then like, sure, we can talk then. But that also just... It's
it might,
fixed
it might
with the tournament document fixed, right? Because then you just add a restricted list and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true.
If FFG will do that, well,
it
remains to be seen what they may do. They are definitely, I feel, updating the FAQ less often than I expected.
It's so annoying that they refuse to restrict or errata cards. Like, it just annoys me. It seems like a pure ego thing.
Well, speaking of cards, I think we've had some good discussion there on Valor Dahyris. And I think maybe it'll be more beneficial to discuss more of it once we've got some plays in, or at least have that whole pack in front of us. But there is one other card in the preview article that I want to hit on for sure. And it's also in the reset realm. That's Ashmark. Master Loyal Location.
Yeah, that card is bonkers.
Yeah, for three, it's unique. The Westerlands, it has Bestow 3. I know folks weren't real up on Bestow as a mechanic, but I think this one may be worth it. Reaction, after a phase begins, kneel and sacrifice Ashmark to return each character with printing cost X or lower to its owner's hand. X is the number of gold on Ashmark. Any phase!
So
man! You just get a First Snow winner on demand. I mean, six gold is a lot of investment,
Well, and speaking of Valor Dahyris and First Snow, I mean, come on. You can do them in the same freaking turn now.
Yep. Or you could Ash, depending on what the board state looks like, you could Ashmark at the start of the plot phase, then hit them with a march to the wall.
Yep.
Do it during taxation.
Yeah, you could do it during taxation. Yeah, before reserve goes off.
You do it during taxation, then they have to ditch a bunch of cards to reserve, and then you march.
Yeah, then you march. Yeah. Oh, it's just sick. I mean, and there's a ton of times I would want to go ahead and just do it at the start of challenges.
Wait, isn't there that one event that allows you to put gold on cards?
There's an event coming. I think it's in the last pack of the current cycle. Yeah.
You could push this threshold higher.
I think so. The bestow number is just the amount that you can optionally pay when you play them, but I don't think it's a cap. You could put more.
That's funny.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I also think Ashmark is useful. Like, people are going to use it as an aggro card and think of it that way, but it's also useful as a way to just, like, on-demand bounce your ambush characters to hand. And to just have fuel for that surprise claim soak, or that, like, if you're running a Clansman deck, this card is just pure gold, right? Ashmark is a super versatile, interesting card, and I think the fact that it costs six for a sacrifice effect that can be canceled or blanked or whatever is a really balanced card. I think that
Blanking is not going to work, at least via event. I just want to point out to people.
Well, I'm thinking
the way this is a reaction to the start of the phase. Nightmares won't. Yeah, it would have to be Frozen.
No, I'm thinking right. I'm thinking about Frozen Solid. Like, and you can newly made Lord it. You can. I mean, there's ways to control this card. I think it's very balanced. I really like it. It would be absurd if it were bestow anything other than three, I think. But, higher number, that is. I think it's great. I love this card. And the Lanny bounce stuff is my favorite archetype, so...
Yeah,
for Lanny, at least.
This is a big tool for them. Big tool.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think this is the one card that I've seen. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, imagine bouncing a Queen's Assassin and then just being able to replay it again.
Oh yeah,
and then doing it again with Iron Bank Has Its Due, and then playing it again. So good.
Okay, well, now that we've left everyone with these awkward chills, I think we can probably safely move on from the news. There are some other cards spoiled. They're interesting. They're not crazy wows to really delve into at the moment. Spoiler for listeners that are familiar with what this means, we had a bunch of technical difficulties and got started super late with our podcasting, so I'm cutting content to keep moving. There we go, right? So, tell you what, let's go ahead to tournaments. Three of the four of us hit some tournaments over the weekend. I just wound up playing in some casual stuff here in Springfield. So I think the way we normally handle our tournament report sort of stuff is whoever placed or performed the worst will go first, and then so on up to whoever did the best. So I assume that that means I will go first, since I wasn't even in a tournament. I had a good time. I tinkered with a couple decks. I'm thinking about for Gen Con, one is a Tyrell Sun with a lot of moving pieces that I really like, and that new Tyrell, what's the name of the new informant?
Old Town Informer.
Ambush Girl. Yeah, just, oh, dude, makes
she's,
that
she's so
theme.
Stupid.
All the Arion triggers and Marjorie Ambush, and just, it just
Blast
feels so good. So that was good. That's not in that deck, but that was going to be the other thing I was going to say, is that I definitely got to see a good bit of Last of the Giants with some of the Viper combo decks. I built one and played a couple games. Another guy brought one and played several games. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think we need more play, especially now that folks know it exists, and see if there's reasonable tech to include that is still good for other matchups, but I thought it was fun.
Or just a restricted list, that'd be fun.
I don't necessarily want to ban the game or the deck out of existence.
Now, Will, technically you were in a regional-esque tournament. The first player championship.
Oh, I was. We talked about that some at the time, but yes, definitely did hit a regional sized or style event.
Yes.
And it was a good time. I would direct listeners to head back to that episode. Okay. So I think that's enough about me, since I didn't actually play in a tournament over the past weekend. But I think Luke did, and I think only did kind of so. So I think you're up next.
Yeah. I went 3-2 at the Indy Regional with a Greyjoy Banner of the Dragon deck that was really just trying to abuse Euron with the Stan tech. And then, of course, you get Miri and Seastone Chair, so it's just a headache. But I was 3-1 headed into the fifth round and was in a win-and-in situation. And in the interest of time, I won't explain the like feel-bad game that I had, but it was one of those times where my opponent made a huge gamble, and then instead of it really paying off in the way that he played well, I just literally drew into utter garbage. I'll just say that I drew 8 limited economy locations. We'll just put it that way. And so I ended up losing on my way into the cut. That was the first cut I'd missed at a regional I've attended this year, so I don't feel so bad about it. It was literally just Greyjoy Dragon, no nuance, just slam big characters that are, like, good in the challenges phase down, and control locations. That was the deck. Oh, wait, I did win one on cards in deck, though.
No way. That's awesome.
What?
No, it's horrible, because Okay, so my first two regionals I attended, I did a lot of testing, and I, like, you know, really, really focused my deck building and play strategy around these decks. And then for this particular tournament, I was just like, man, I really want something that's, like, not a lot of thinking. I've already done well at two regionals. I just want to figure out what's going on here. And then got a deck from a friend and didn't feel like making room to cut cards, to put other cards in. So I ended up actually running, like, an animal, like, 62 cards because I just didn't care, and ended up winning a game 28-27 on cards and deck. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's insane.
It was dumb. I played from behind that entire game, and we both ended on 13 power, and it was just, like, I didn't feel like I actually won the game. It was just, I don't know. It was bad. Like, yeah. Anyway, I had a super middling performance at 3-2.
Okay, well, so between RJ and Caleb, then, which one of you guys did better this past weekend?
I mean, that is an excellent question.
I technically screwed myself out of top four, so probably me.
Okay, tell you what. How about you go next, then?
Okay, so I was running a Martell Banner Lion deck that was basically just there to screw people over. Naval Superiority as the opener because nobody up there was expecting it. And I had traumatized enough of you guys in my local meta with it. I was like, sure, why not? And sure enough, first three games I won, and first three games I hit them with Naval Superiority.
And Wausau would love you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The Wausau guys love Naval.
Nice. I am sold on that.
Shout out to Wausau, like, one of the top two metas in the country, if I'm being honest.
Nice. And with Martell having Dornish Fiefdom now, it's just so easy to run Naval, because it's active on turn one. If I've got it on setup, I've got four gold on turn one.
Yeah. So what were you looking to hit with it?
Mostly Late Summer Feast, but I actually hit Noble Cause every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Noble Cause has come back full force with, like, some of the more generic kind of good stuff decks. Like, yeah. I've seen Tyrell running it, I've seen Lanny running it, I've seen Greyjoy running it, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and the first deck that because we all used our regional buys, there were six of them in a 26-player tournament, and I ended up getting paired into one of the other regional buys in round two, and he mulliganed a mediocre hand into a Great Hall, Great Kraken setup. And I flipped Naval on his Noble Cause, and it was basically over.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, that sounds like it would do it.
The Madison, Wisconsin regional had, like, a couple 4-1s miss the cut because there were so many regional buys.
That's insane.
Oh, that sucks.
That actually sucks bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, the me screwing myself out of top four came at a very interesting time. I was basically 3-2 going into top eight, and the guy I lost to at the end of Swiss was my top eight opponent. We just basically stayed in the same chairs. And he got a crap setup. I had a good setup. I had two dupes on Nymeria, a duped Jaime, a duped Tyrion. Like, he couldn't even aggressive Valor, and that's what he was banking on. And he needed four power to win.
Hashtag dupes.
Yes. And I was at, like, 9, and I'm like, ooh. So I had Quentin out, and I'm like, oh, do I get that unopposed military and wipe his or wipe most of his board because I had retaliation? Or do I get the unopposed power and just go from there? And the idiot inside my head goes, get better board presence so that you can flip March next turn and get rid of his Euron. Well, he had a Risen from the Sea in his hand, so he basically got to keep most of his board because he also had Iron Mines. And then he flips Rise of the Kraken and wins. And I'm like, why am I an idiot? Why didn't I power challenge?
Oh, great.
It can happen to the best of us, especially, you know, late in a tournament when you've been, you know, there all day and everything.
And that's actually kind of what we gathered after that game, because I was pretty disappointed in myself. It wasn't even the first mess up. It was the third. And he actually had a few missed plays. So it was basically just fatigue, and I got a migraine, and it just kind of was a crapshoot from there. But the nice thing was, is the dude was awesome. We had a great time and were joking. And that was really how the Omaha Regional was everybody was super nice. Everybody was very lighthearted. And that was the best thing for me. I had a blast.
Yeah, the Indy Regional had like 25 people out of a 37 player field go out to dinner afterward and drink beer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a really good time.
And that's, I like seeing that part of the community come together, that everybody's super nice and chill about it, even in a competitive setting. And that even after the tournament, that community is still there.
Yep, and come to Casablanca to do karaoke for Thrones with us at Gen Con.
That sounds awesome.
Ooh.
Yep.
I like
it's
that.
Gonna happen.
Perfect.
It's going to happen.
Oh, I'm going to be tagging along for that. I'm so excited.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, I guess that goes into me, unless you got any other closing thoughts, Caleb.
No, that's all, that's me. A very abrupt end.
Just so. Well, I was playing Targaryen Fealty. I had been debating playing Targaryen Crossing going into it, but part of me was just had a gut feeling that I really wanted that extra gold from Fealty, that extra reduction to just kind of push me over the edge. I just wasn't feeling it with Lord of the Crossing. And I had that the first round bye, and then the it just kind of went from there, and just kind of it was just really a standard Targaryen deck, in all honesty, of which I honestly only saw one Dracarys all day, which was very disconcerting.
That's
yeah, but
terrible.
Like you still just, but you get to like sit there in the challenges phase and save a buck or two, and just kneel your faction card and watch the opponent cry.
Exactly. I think, and then on that note, I don't think I ended a turn without I'm going to sit on one gold. So that presence was always there. So good stuff. Good stuff.
Oh, the mind games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mind games are where it's at. That's one of the best aspects of Game of Thrones.
Tagline for Melee, right there. Mind games are where it's at.
Also true.
Yeah. I think one of the more hilarious turns is actually in round two, where my opponent was playing Tyrell, Reigns of Castamere, and he triggered Reigns of Castamere and flipped into a wildfire. And he was more tunnel visioned on doing what he wanted to do, but failed to realize I have a Khal Drogo, a Grey Worm, and he flips in, and I have a Retaliation. So, and a Plaza of Pride. So, yay, Plaza of Pride for getting multiple challenges in. And he was quite sad. He ended up with only a Tinder Marge at the end of that turn. It was an eye-opener.
That sounded like a real good
spoilers.
One you were talking
spoilers.
About.
Blood of the Dragon is really good.
Yep. Blood of the Dragon. There was and Astapor did work on that one turn when there was a Blood of the Dragon flipped. And ironically, it wasn't my own Blood of the Dragon. In top four, I got paired against another Targaryen, but it was Banner Stag, which was really interesting, and he was at a local from Omaha, really cool guy, and he flipped Blood of the Dragon, and we both had an online Astapor, and it was that turn was a knife's edge, because either one of us could have easily killed two or three characters on either side, depending on which way the which way it fell. So good games. It was crazy.
And actually, a side note, me and RJ played in Swiss. He was one of my losses.
Ooh.
Yeah, we had to cannibalize ourselves earlier in the day.
That's always a bad feeling.
And it was literally the match where my deck stopped working. Like, it was...
Which is our modus operandi. It always happens that way.
It does. It always happens that way.
Yeah, but except in our MO, I seem to just trounce Caleb in Swiss, but then we see each other in top eight, and then he just knocks me out. So,
and we didn't. We didn't we both cannibalize knew what was going. In top eight.
No, we did not. Thank goodness. So, yep.
Yeah, I test with a regional buddy of mine, two or three nights a week, like online, and every time I've ever played him in a tournament, he has drawn the nut draw, and I have had like a one card setup.
Ugh, that's the worst.
Or the equivalent, you know. Because like we played each other in the Swiss at the Tennessee regional, and he was my only loss in Swiss. I went 4-1 in Swiss there with Martel Fealty, and he just had everything and like just cleared my board turn one, and I drew into absolutely nothing.
That sucks.
Yeah,
but I went co-king of Swiss with a Targ Fealty deck, so I totally feel you on the Targ Fealty. But yeah, that was pre Fall of Astapor, so.
Yep. Now Targ is definitely in a good place, and it's really popular over in Europe, and yeah, just my favorite house right now, so. Can't really complain about that. So, yeah, that's that.
Cool. Well, Jen.
Will, did you make it to any regionals this year?
I did not. There is still the slight chance about maybe making a mad dash to Mississippi next weekend. So we'll see what happens. But I think I may have some conflicting local stuff going on. And
will all y'all be at
home? Yes, I will be.
I will.
RJ is as well.
I will not. I just can't quite swing the vacation and the money this time around. But hopefully next year I'll be able to make it. I've been wanting to go for quite a while.
Cool.
It's a crazy blast.
It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, this is going to be my first year, and it's the 50th anniversary. So I'm just along for the ride. I'm so excited.
Literally, if the plan is still for you to ride up with Kristen and I.
Oh, the pun.
Yeah, I didn't expect that to be quite so awkward. I guess that's the end of that segment.
No.
Well, tell you what, let's go ahead and let's kick it over into props and slops. This is our segment for the new guys where we get to throw a little shout out to you or diss to something going on in our lives, be that something in Thrones, pop culture, movies, TV, books are generally pretty common, though sometimes it's just stuff like, hey, I got a speeding ticket. So I'm going to go ahead and jump out there with a prop to the Mother's Imperial Grind Coffee Stout, which is, frankly, an amazing beer. Folks have probably already heard me talk about just Winter Grind before, but this is the Imperial version, which has been, fermented longer and such? I don't know. It's great and delicious and amazing. Who's up next?
I guess I'll go. Slops to the fact that the Indy Regional decreased by a significant percentage. We had 58 last year and 37 this year. I think that's partly like state of the game, and I think that's partly the fact that Chris Thompson and I were both less than pumped to promote this particular event because of interactions we had with the store. So it's also kind of a double slot there. But yeah, I'll leave it at that, and then I'll come back to some props later. I'm still kind of salty about it because I wanted to buck the trend and be one of the regionals that grew, and it did not happen.
Well, I have one. I would like to, of our group that went up to the Omaha, I'd like to prop pretty much our entire team for making it in the top 10, especially Andy, who's this is his first regional and he made top 8, which was awesome. He's really improved as a player, and just seeing that growth from when I first met him is really awesome. And then mad props to Caleb's friend, Crimson, for really just, he hasn't picked up the game in what, over a year. Is that right?
Yeah. It was last regional when we had one in Springfield, He came down from Omaha to play.
Yep.
Slops not having a regional in Springfield.
Agreed.
Second.
I don't know. First player championship was probably better than an actual regional. We had also we had Melee.
I think that's awesome, but you could have gotten a 2-day event, and I think that Springfield is a historic site for Thrones, and if anybody at FFGOP like gave a flying fuck about it, then they would have had a regional in Springfield. As whatever.
You know, that's a horse we've beat on the show a couple other times. Turns out it's still dead.
Oh yeah.
I'm just on your side. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Yep, for sure.
Okay. I guess me?
Yeah. I think you've got something you were itching to talk about.
Well, I actually had to give mad props to the Game Shop, which is the guys that put on the Omaha Regional. And despite that bad call early on, I want to give a shout out to them because they actually threw in extra prize support and just were giving it away just willy-nilly. I mean, everybody walked out with a playset of the Alt Art Arbors. They were giving out store champ mats. It was a really solid showing.
They were also giving out really generous gift cards for their store.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, the Tennessee regional was the same way. Props all the way to Game Cave. But my final prop and slop, because it's the same thing at this point, is props. It's all slops. Slops to the Second Sons recording tonight because Roy missed this recording, and slops to the Second Sons for being the worst at Game of Thrones Second Edition LCG podcast.
Ouch.
Woo. Well played.
Shots fired.
That may change.
They would self-describe themselves as the worst LCG podcast. So
that may change, Luke, after I debut the things I do for love here in a couple weeks. Spoiler preview there for folks. I'll explain more about it off air. This is a surprise for now.
So that was just a teaser for the listeners.
Slops to not explaining to the listeners, but props to like teasing us and then us getting to hear about it before all the rest of y'all.
Yes,
exactly.
I actually do have a slop. I didn't expect to have one, but an interesting point was brought up. Slops to FFG for not supporting Melee. Where are the Melee events?
We could do that every episode.
There is one at Gen Con. At least there is one. I think RJ and I are both playing in it.
I'm playing it.
Good, but
oh, and Luke, nice.
I'm playing. Just spoiler alert, everybody. I'm playing Devil Unexpected Delay.
Oh my god!
Are you gonna play Duel also?
Devil Unexpected Delay, maybe Duel. Definitely Valor. Varus's Riddle and Summer Harvest, maybe, and then. you know, we'll see what the faction and agenda are, because I really don't care, because I just want to play Double Unexpected Delay and watch people just, like, put their head in their hands and go, I don't know what to do right now.
I think Martell should be the main faction, so yes, that you can play the Bone Way when people do manage to challenge you, and so you can play the icon removal attachments, and every time crap gets bounced or killed or whatever, you just keep replaying the attachments.
Ooh, that sounds fun. Those are dealmakers, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Like the way you think, sir.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Yeah.
All right. I think that's it for me. Anybody else have anything in closing?
I think I'm good.
All I know is that all of our recording issues and technological problems tonight put us in the danger zone.
Oh.
I mean,
slap the hell out of those.
Yeah.
We made it. Knock on wood.
This.
Yep, and thanks RJ and Caleb, and your debut took a billion hours, and that closes another chapter of the White Book.
If it would be all right for me and RJ to plug our podcast.
Oh, so it's not closed yet. There's an epilogue.
There's an epilogue. This is a George R. R. Martin style. Me and RJ are actually working on a podcast with my friend Crimson. It is Mediocre Gamers, which only me and Crimson are the mediocre gamers in that group. Thanks, RJ, for being MVP every game we play.
Sorry.
But you can find us on Facebook at the number 2 Mediocre Gamers and on Twitter.
So what's the content about in a nutshell? Like, give the elevator pitch.
Nutshell is what we are doing in games currently. Playing Eternal, the new set dropped for that, so our first episode was about that. Stukov dropping in Heroes of the Storm and the Omaha Regional. And it's just going to be kind of our experiences with games, what we're liking, what we're disliking, and just kind of a, I don't know, just an experience in all sorts of games, tabletop and video.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool.
Anything to add, RJ?
Nope, I think you hit the nail on the head.
All right. But our episode 0 is up on SoundCloud, and there is a link on our Facebook page and Twitter page to it.
Awesome.
Can you
give that to us
one more time before we close this chapter?
Sure. It is at 2 Mediocre Gamers, the number 2. And on Facebook, it is facebook.com/the number 2 Mediocre Gamers.
And that truly does close another chapter.